All right, do we have a special tonight? All right, let's take our Bibles then, please, and go to the book of Amos and chapter number 6 in your Bibles. The book of Amos and chapter number 6. And you'll find the book of Ezekiel's pretty big. If you find it, go to the right several pages, all right? Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and then the book of Amos. And Amos chapter number 6 is where we're going to look in our Bibles tonight. Amen. It's good to be in church. Amen. And hope you're ready to get something from the Lord tonight. Amen. And we certainly need something in the middle of the week. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amos chapter number 6. And we're going to begin with verse number 1. Now, Amos, before we begin this verse, I want you to look over, hold your finger in chapter 6 and look over at chapter 7 and verse number 14. And that verse tells us who Amos was. Amos chapter 7, and look at verse number 14, just to set the idea and the background here of who Amos was. Notice in verse 14 it says, "Then answered Amos, and I said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord, thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac." So we see according to that verse that Amos was a herdsman. He was actually a sheep herder that God had said, I want to use you as a prophet and I want you to go preach. God can use anybody, can he? Amen. He can. In fact, more often than not, God uses simple, plain people like you and me to do his work if we are willing to do his work. Amen? And that's the kind that God uses. So now let's go to chapter 6 and let's hear what Amos has to say as he speaks to the children of Israel. Verse 1, let's begin reading there. "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to come to whom the house of Israel come. Pass ye unto Calna and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath the Great, and go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ornaments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph." I want you to go back to verse 1 and notice that first phrase there. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Them that are in ease in Zion. I want to preach on that thought tonight. Them that are at ease in Zion. Would you pray with me tonight? Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings and your help as we open the Bible tonight. Lord, we need your blessings and your power tonight. We don't need our own. We need yours. And so help us tonight, God. Help us to put in plain language, Lord, what you're trying to say to your people through the prophet Amos here in the passage tonight. And God, we all have needs and needy hearts tonight. And so God, help us, I pray tonight, to open our hearts to you and to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts tonight, whatever that may be, Lord, that we might be better because we've been in your house and in church tonight. So bless, we pray tonight, thy word, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we see here the story of this prophet Amos, who we call him a minor prophet, not because he was minor in power with God or minor in some way, but because he didn't write as much as, say, Ezekiel or Jeremiah did. But he was no less a powerful man that listened to God in the day and age in which he lived. He lived during the time of Jeroboam, who started out as a good king, but eventually he slipped and ended up being a bad king. He saw the needs of the people. He had his name actually means burden bearer. Amos means burden bearer. And he certainly was a man with a burden. And the children of Israel had slipped. God had blessed them. They were at the height at the time of David and Solomon. But little by little, as sin crept into the children of Israel, they went down and down and down and began to be defeated until eventually they were split into two kingdoms, Israel in the north and Judah in the south. And little by little, their enemies attacked them, and that was because of sin. You know, sin will ruin any good thing. Sin will ruin any good thing. And, you know, there is no person or no Christian, no church, no institution that if sin enters in, that it will not crumble and fail. Sin's a great destroyer. Sin will destroy things more than anything else. And certainly, Amos is seeing this in the day and age in which he lives. He knows the height and the glory of David and how God's power and his blessings were there. But little by little, as sin crept in, sure enough, it caused Israel so much trouble, and they went down, and they went down. And so Amos lives at a time when the children of Israel were in the payment day, if you will, the payment time of sin. But he had a burden about it. He was a burden man. And he cared that God's people would live God's way. He cared. He cared about that. We live at a time when many people don't really care about living a holy life. When a holy life is something that's put alongside and we have other priorities that are in front of it. We have nice things. We have pleasures. We have our comforts and the things that please us. And so we put the spiritual things aside. We don't need those things. Those things aren't important. And by the way, you better be careful when you get too many blessings that you don't take them for granted. Amen. Amen. Be careful that you don't get too many blessings. Boy, when that thing comes that God blesses you with, thank God for it, but don't let it go to your head. Amen. Just stay humble, stay thankful to God, no matter what. Amen. Just always stay thankful to God. Always. And by the way, even when things aren't going so good, you better be thankful for God. Amen. And so Amos here, he sees that the children of Israel, that somehow they're at ease. They put the spiritual to the side. And they've been blessed so much and they're laying on their beds of ivory, he says. They're just living for pleasures and living for fun. Let me tell you something. There's more to live for than just pleasure in life. There's more to live for. There's more in life than just those pleasures of life. And Amos is to remind. God says, hey, Amos, go preach to them. Go tell them the truth. Go tell them and let them know. And sad to say, they did not listen. You know, it's possible to get to such a place where you love those comforts that you just cannot hear the voice of God anymore. I wonder how many people God is knocking on their heart that they're lost and they need to be saved. And it's too late because they can't hear the voice of God or they don't want to hear the voice of God. They've drowned him out with pleasures and drowned him out with the self life and put the spiritual over here. And you know, the sad part is that many of them, according to the Bible, they'll spend eternity in hell away from God. forever and ever. That's sad. That's sad. You know, God doesn't want it that way. He wants us when we hear him knocking to answer his voice right away. You know, it's easy. It's easy when God knocks on your heart the first time to respond. But if you don't respond that first time, that knock gets a little fainter. You know? And God is patient with us, but he runs out of patience at one point in time. He runs out of patience. Ephraim, the Bible says, is attached to her idols. And God went to Ephraim and time again tried to bring him back. But they couldn't listen. They wouldn't hear God. They didn't want to hear God. They just wanted to keep going on in their pleasure. And God said, Ephraim is joined to her idols. Just let her alone. And you know what? God quit knocking on their heart. Well, that's a sad day. That's a sad day. But that does happen in the life of some people. I know a preacher who had a lady come up to him one time. And she said, preacher, I would like to be saved, but I can't. He said, what? He said, you'd like to be saved, but you can't? She says, no, I really can't. She said, one day I heard that voice of God, and I heard that knock of God on my heart, and I heard God speaking to me to get saved. And I said, no. And for years and years and years, I said no, until finally that knock on my heart, it went away, and I couldn't hear it anymore. She said, preacher, I'd give anything to be able to hear that knock again. I'd give anything to be able to hear that knock on my heart again. And you know, she was expressing the condition that a lot of people are in, and exactly what the children of Israel are in. And I fear our country's getting like this. Our country is so comfortable. We got everything we need. I mean, even if you're poor in America, even if you're poor, you have so many more things that people don't have in this whole world. You know, I mean, we think if we got a 3-year-old car, we might as well just dry up and blow away. You know, God's been horrible to us. I mean, you know, we have such blessings that it's so easy to be calm at ease in Zion, when really the blessings of life should make us tender-hearted and more humble to God. They should make us more thankful. Amen? They should make us wake up every day and say, Lord, I don't deserve your goodness. I don't deserve how good you've been to me, but thank God you have been good to me. Amen. You know, even if today you struggle and suffer, look down, you got hands. There's somebody who doesn't have hands. Look down at your feet. There's somebody that doesn't have feet. I tell you, we have it good. We have it good. And we must watch out for the danger of becoming at ease in Zion, at ease and comfortable in our situation. And notice what the prophet says to the children of Israel. Notice what he says to them. He said in verse 2, pass ye through Calneh and see. Now he's telling them to go to this city and take a look at this city, what happened to them. And then he says, go to Hamath, another city. And then go down to Gath, that's the city of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms? Or your border greater than their border, greater than your border? You know what he's saying? He's saying, I judged those nations, and God took care of them. Do you think that you can be in ease in Zion and not face the judgment of God? You know, we don't like the idea of judgment today. We don't like that. But God's trying to teach us it's still going to come whether we like it or not. So God's trying to teach us to be ready in our heart. Amen? Be ready. Don't live at ease without gratitude and thankfulness for the blessings of God. And hey, listen, when you start looking around at your blessings, if you start feeling that way, you know what would be a good thing to do? Get up from your seat and go out and find somebody that doesn't have anything. And give them, take care of one of their needs. Amen. I'm saying tonight that It's easy to get at ease and Zion. It's easy to become comfortable and unthankful for the blessings that God gives us. And God is saying to the children of Israel, they fell in that spot. And he said, go to these other cities and look and see. The judgment of God fell on them for falling at ease in Zion. So he's saying, wake up. Wake up, do not allow yourself to focus on being at ease in Zion. Surely God's not against us getting rest and having a time of rest. The Bible says he giveth his beloved sleep. Amen? Our basic needs God is not against. But you know what? We get this mentality where we accumulate. And we want to have so many things, and those things become our trust. And we lose sight of faith in God and trust in God. Hey, it's a good life when you have to pray for your daily needs. It really is. It's a good life when you have to live by faith. Amen. Because when everything's taken care of and all the bills are paid and the kids aren't sick and the dog doesn't need to go to the vet and everything's going good and everything's just peachy keen and groovy, right? When everything's going good, it's easy to become at ease in Zion. It's easy. So I want you to see some things he said here to them. Verse 4, notice he said, that lie upon beds of ivory. Now this is a place of ease and comfort where we live only with that pleasure in mind. Boy, America is so pleasure filled. We have pleasure, 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 and the churches are empty. We're at ease in Zion. We're sitting on our ivory beds and enjoying our pleasures rather than doing something with what God's given us. We get comfortable. We get stingy. We get self-focused. You ever get self-focused? Oh, God wants us to avoid it. You know why? Because we are not supposed to just be a receiver. We're supposed to be a conduit of God's blessings. God doesn't want to just give to us. He wants to give through us. Amen? We're a conduit of blessing. We're a channel of blessing. And so he's saying here that they enjoy their beds of ivory. By the way, how would you like to sleep on ivory? That doesn't sound too comfortable. But you see, the point is that ivory is that some animal had to make a sacrifice so that that person could be at ease. And I think, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ made a sacrifice for us. And we ought not be just taking at ease. Amen. Well, I'm saved now. I got salvation, preacher. I know I'm on my way to heaven. But hey, God wants us to tell somebody else. God wants somebody else to know about it. We can't live at ease in Zion. We can't just say, well, this is my bed of ivory, and I'm just gonna sit back and relax. Hey, listen, until the day we die, God has somebody that needs to hear what God gave you in salvation till the day we die. So he said, don't just live with pleasures only in mind. Oh, listen, this country, this world is so stocked in pleasure and sports. And you know, I love sports. I enjoy it. I enjoy football. You say, what don't you enjoy? I don't enjoy all-star wrestling. Amen. And I turned the channel the other day and it was on and man, it was so fake. I don't know how anybody could watch that. You know, but it's the only sport I could go into where I wouldn't get injured, right? It just looked like I did something. But the point is though, that this country is full of pleasure. Pleasure rules the minds of people today. But you know what? If they forget about God, it's going to be a bad day when they die. It's going to be a bad day when they die. Oh, we've heaped pleasures to ourselves. We've forgotten about God. Oh, listen, I'll tell you, some of these elections that we recently had show it too. Some of these elections show, boy, down in Brazil, they elected a president who was in jail. They put that guy in jail for crimes. When he got out, he ran for president and won. Can you believe it? I said, that sounds very familiar. Amen. In America. Amen. I'm saying tonight, hey, God blesses you. Don't just give a pleasure mentality. Realize God saved you for a purpose. You know, you got a job to do. You got a job to do. God saved you to do a job. God said, and by the way, he hasn't taken you home yet, so there still must be a job to do. Right. Yeah. Amen. And so they're on their beds of ivory, and notice they stretch themselves upon their couches. Oh, boy. It's wonderful just to live the life of ease and pleasure and all that. Hey, I'll tell you something. That'll ruin a Christian. That'll ruin a Christian. I'll tell you something, Christian. Keep busy. Keep busy. Amen? Amen. Stay with us. Stay busy doing something. Some Christians, though, they're so busy they don't have time for God. Don't get that end either. And so this is what he's saying. He's saying to the children of Israel, hey, listen, you've gotten too comfortable. You get too happy. You get too pleasure-minded. You get too self-absorbed. Oh, it can happen to all of us. But notice the next thing he said, verse 4. He said, and eat the lambs out of the flocks and the calves out of the midst of the stalls. Now, notice that they take the best for themselves, don't they? Not the sheep, but the lambs. They want the tender, they want the best part. Kill that little lamb. We don't care. And what happens is you become hard-hearted and cruel. Kill the calves. I want the best. You know, that calf is the tenderest meat. And they said, I want that for myself. Give me that. That's my. Oh, you see how hard-hearted, how hard-hearted they become when they get in ease. Oh, I'll tell you, sometimes a Christian will get a new job and they're making good money and boy, listen, everything's good. And before long, they buy an ivory bed. Before long, there's a man. Bring those calves over here. I want those calves in the land. I want to eat the best. And hey, we got to be careful. Careful we don't get any ease in Zion. Don't get any ease. Always stay busy doing. Listen, there's a ministry that every Christian needs to get involved in. There's something that every Christian needs to do on a weekly, maybe daily basis. And why? Keeps us from getting to this place where we get comfortable and relaxed and self-absorbed. And you know, some live that way the rest of their life. And so Amos stands up to the children of Israel. And he says, hey, you're at ease. Don't live at ease. Notice what else he told them. Verse 5, he said, the chant to the sound of the viol. Oh, they just want to hear good things. They just want to hear the pretty music all the time. They live in rose-colored glasses on, and they just want to live. Hey, let me tell you something. There's a day coming when we can live like this. Do you know when that day is? That's when we go to heaven. Heaven is all about relaxation and pleasure. Amen. You say, well, let's go today then. Amen. That's what heaven's about. But you know what life's about? It's about work and staying at it and accomplishing something for the Lord. It's about making your life count. It's about using the life that God gave you in the life of some person. You know, I think there are people out there that just you could attach to and connect with and spend time with that person and cultivate that life. And you say it's just one person. Hey, if Jesus, if there were only one sinner that ever lived on the earth, Jesus would have still died for that one sinner. Amen. Amen. And so God's saying here, he's saying, hey, it's worth it to put your life into somebody else's life. The more we live for ourselves, the less happy we become. The more we live from ourselves, the real happy, that's where real happiness is found. Amen. Amen. There, I want to chant to the vial and, let's just live happy and do whatever we want to do. You know, from time to time I'll hear a Christian talk like that and, you know, let's just forget all the rules and all, let's forget all the standards, let's forget all the Bible and let's just, you know, have fun and just let me tell you something. That's just not what God would have us to do. Amen? Why? Because there's work to do. There's people that need Christ. There's people that need help in the world. And that's what the church is for. The church is to connect with the world by going to the world. Amen? But you know, if we stay on those beds of ease, have the fans blowing on us, when I was in, when we were down in Columbia, that's where I was. When I was down in Columbia, somebody said a kid wanted to come behind us with a fan and blow a fan on us. Amen. I don't know. We had two ladies there. There might have been a lot of hot air. I'm not sure. So they might have had the fan. I don't know. But you know what? It kind of bothered me. I didn't feel worthy for someone to fan me. Amen? I didn't want somebody to fan me. Now, if it was a lot hotter, I might. But no. And you know, so he's saying, be careful of this. Then we see also here, verse 5. He said, and invent to themselves instruments of music. Now, they're always devising some way to have greater pleasure. And what it shows is that their mind is not interested in doing anything or accomplishing anything with their life. Hey, listen, God didn't give us life just to fritter it away. God gave us a certain amount of time. It's life's a vapor. It's here and it's gone. As quick as it comes, it goes. And in that short amount of time of life that God's given us something to do that's going to make a difference for eternity. Amen. And that's why we can't afford to ever be at ease. Don't get me wrong, sometimes you need a little rest. Sometimes we do. But once we get a little rest, God wants us to keep doing something that's going to make a difference in eternity. You know, if you think about it, this life's so short and eternity is so long that what's done here, we get to enjoy it throughout all eternity. Well, that's a good trade. Yeah. Amen? That's a good trade. When we were in the airport, Autumn and I were walking in the airport, and we were lagging behind everybody else. And we stopped for a minute. We said, oh, we got to have a little break. It was like 3 in the morning. We were walking through the airport, and we saw two chairs over there, and they were those massage chairs. She looked at me. I looked at her, and we just nodded. And you know, they charged us $5. $5. It's the best $5 I ever spent in my life. We sat in those chairs, and you put your leg down it, and it massages your leg. Have you ever been in an airport at 3 in the morning Let me tell you something. Go find one of those chairs. Those will help you. Amen. And I enjoy it. And you know what? We got 15 minutes for $5. And I was watching the minutes. 4, 3, 2, 1. No. And finally, boom, it shut off. And the thing that was on your back, they had it stick right in the middle of your back, so you had to get up or put another $5 in. One of the two. And you know what? I thought I could sit here all day. This would feel good. But guess what? I had a plane to catch. And you know, life is kind of like that. We could enjoy the things of life, but really we've got a work to do. We got a work to do. And let's stay at it. Keep at it. Well, notice lastly here, he said, verse 6, he said that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ornaments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Now, it means that they just want to drink away all their problems and all the things of life. They don't want to be interested in somebody else. And by the way, this is one of the great problems of alcohol. You say, are you against alcohol? Absolutely. You say, well, preacher, a social drink from time to time isn't that bad, is it? Hey, let me tell you something. If you never take the first drink, you can never become a drunk. Right. Amen. You say, well, that's a little confining. I know, I'm so confined in life. I've never had one drink. I've never even tasted beer. Not one time in my life. I've had it so bad and so rough. I have never had to worry about becoming an alcoholic or a drunk. You know why? Because I never took the first drink. Amen. And I'm simply saying, stay away from alcohol. Alcohol can ruin you. Amen. Stay away from it. If you ever get the temptation, run. Run. Don't ever want the temptation. Man, all you got to do is smell that stuff. It smells horrible. It smells awful. Man, it's terrible. But it's something that people are deceived in. You know, the Bible tells us that wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Amen. You say, oh, preacher, it's 2022. You got to come up with the times. You know, in 2022, we have more alcoholic problems than we ever have in this country. And you know why? It's because we have so much blessings and so many things, and people want to drown their problems and their things in life. Hey, listen, face your problems with the grace of God, not the bottle. Amen? Yeah. Face the things of life that come to you. There's enough grace of God to help you through every situation that you don't need the bottle. You don't need the drugs. You don't need the bottle. You need the grace and peace that God offers. Amen. Amen. And so he's saying this is the condition of the day. They live for themselves. They go from thing to thing and they forget about God. You know, I'm worried. I get worried when I see people, how they vote in this country. I worry about the condition of our country. I worry where this country's going. I really do. And we have, I still believe abortion is murder. It is taking and snuffing out a life. And there were two judges that we voted on that I found out were abortionists. I filled out the ballot. No, I don't want those judges in there. By the way, America's going to be judged one day for the abortion that we allow. Amen. Amen. Now, I've said a lot in this sermon tonight, amen. But I want to tell you, Amos had a burden for the nation of Israel because they were at ease. These pleasures had gripped their mind and they'd lost sight of God. Our nation's drifting the same way. And, you know, Christianity is drifting the same way. And, you know, Christians, we're supposed to change the world, not follow the world. The world is supposed to see an example in us, not see us behind them following their way. And it doesn't mean we're better than anybody. No Christian is better than any person, any lost man. But we have something in us that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the world needs to see us with the fire of God in our heart and in our life. They need to see that in us. We again need to lead the world in the truth and righteous ways of God, not just live at ease, not just live at comfort. Somebody needs us. Somebody needs us. And oh, if we'll keep that in mind. And when I was in Bible college, Dr. Vineyard always taught us, if you're going to help somebody, it costs you two things. It costs you two things. You know what those two things are?
Time and money.
Time and money. It does. It costs time and money to help somebody. But I tell you what, it's only money. And it's only time. Amen. Amen. So let's hear that admonition that Amos brings. Let's let it speak to our hearts. And let it cause us to be reinvigorated every day to wake up and accomplish something for God. I know a man that had a goal. He said, every day, I'm going to put three tracks out every day. Every day. He worked a full-time job, and every day he was looking to get his three tracks done. He'll pass them out at the grocery store, the gas pump, and somebody at work. Hey, if you have a workplace, be known as the guy that always leaves that little paper on the break room table. Be known as that person. It shows we care and that we're interested in helping other people come to Christ and see them get saved. So God's teaching us here to have this kind of heart for people because God wants to use us for His glory and His purposes. You believe that? You believe God has a purpose for you? You believe that God has something for you? He does. He has something for everybody to do. It may be a few somethings, but God's got something for all of us to do. Let's find it. Let's do it with the best of our heart for the Lord. Let's bow our heads tonight.